Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Monday, April 19th, 2021. Thank you for joining me on a brand new Pirate T-Lab stream. Thank you to the owner of the channel for letting us continue to punch through the censorship and get this stuff out there for people to see. But as always, if you are on YouTube right now, unless you're helping in mods or something in that regard, or you're a part of the Last American Vagabond effort, I ask why you're here. Sort of joking, but sort of not. We should be going anywhere else other than YouTube at this moment. That's an important thing to realize. Now, there's two very important things to talk about that I just wanted to jump on and talk about. It's going to be a short show, and I can honestly say that today, shorter than we're normally going to be. Sometimes I can run long, but it probably won't be an hour, 2 hour show, just as I'm guessing, but we know how that tends to go. But there's two main topics I'm going to get into, and that is just a couple of things that we're now being admitted to. I'm going to start with a little bit of censorship stuff that I want to just reiterate so people know what I mean when I say Pirate T-Lab stream. We're going to talk about some new admissions in regard to the PCR test. The Guardian having leaked documents that show that not only do they know that there's a huge false positive issue, but that they're going to slowly try to pull it back so they can, instead of just going, hey guys, we made a mistake and you're all completely okay. Nope, they're going to keep lying and just quietly roll it back. Why do we remember that from? Oh, literally everything the government's ever done in our history, right? That's just how they operate. You can look at every war, every manipulation. They constantly pretend they're doing the right thing, and then they cheat and steal and rob and do absolutely the opposite of what's good for you. Now, I'm sure I have a little bit of a jaded perspective on government, but you know what? Prove me wrong, because I am tired of seeing the history, and we act like something's different today. We're also going to talk about vaccines and the continual... I mean, it's incredible that they're continuing to act like this isn't really happening. And the evidence, even from mainstream, again, so we're clear, coming from mainstream in no way means that it's any more legitimate, just meaning that for the average normies out there, that makes more sense to them for whatever reason. And I get it. We were all there at one point. But we're going to get into that and explain what that means. And then a couple of other important points. And just looking at what I have lined up, it will definitely be a shorter one. Don't be deceived by the tabs, because I've got more on there than are for just today. But we're going to start off with specifically, let me know in the chat actually if this is seeming glitchy or there's any gaps. I'm feeling like there's a little bit of a delay issue here for me, but maybe it's just on my end. But let's start off with what I wanted to show you in regard to censorship very quickly here. Just want to show you the main channel, which they allegedly, you know, gave back. And I'm saying that in quotes because they didn't really. It's completely blocked down. I can't stream. I can't upload. I'm even going to show you in a moment what else I weirdly can't do, but I added this to the main image just so people know. Censored and sanitized by YouTube. Not my channel anymore. So they deleted most of the important stuff. Pretty much, here's what I found interesting that you might not be surprised by. Guess what? They left certain things on there, and that's not to indicate that what they didn't delete, because there's still things like just today, they deleted two more. It's really strange, but doesn't indicate that just because it's there, it means that's not real or important or whatever. But I found it interesting what they did immediately go after. And guess which ones those are? All of the main shows that I go through and really get into the scientific material. And I really prove what I'm saying. And I show you the British Medical Journal stuff. And I show you from Oxford and show you the Lancet studies and show you why it counters what they're saying. And yeah, they just couldn't allow that kind of medical misinformation on the... it's so utterly ridiculous how obvious these people are running scared from what they keep telling us we should listen to. The science. It's hilarious, and it's also pretty alarming. But just so we're clear, for those who didn't know, they did give this back, but it's not really given back. And I'm already done with YouTube anyway. So hashtag boycott YouTube, going towards Super U direction. We're going to something different. But I will keep doing this because I just want to keep trying to reach those people that are still hopelessly lost on YouTube, right? That's where they mostly are. Now, before I go to the rest of it, I just want to point something out. I was poking around in the channel just to see what else they did, and it's very strange. I don't really get what they're trying to do here. But you'll notice that there's all sorts of things that I can't do. Like, for instance, just simply add videos to playlists. Oh, weird. Sign in. Oh, okay. Oh, sign in. Okay. Oh, sign in. Oh, okay. Oh, an error. That's weird. Must be one of those glitches. It's almost like they don't want me to be able to, I don't know, go back to other channels and add videos that I'm currently doing to a master playlist that I can punch right on the front of my main channel. Yeah, because see, they know how these things work. They know there's ways around this. Sort of like this same example, just to show you that I can't add them. Same idea. But going here, here's making a new playlist that I just happen to call YouTube Sucks, and let's make it public. And, you know, this is new, not checking in one to save it to, but making a new one. Hit create. Oh, well, I guess I can't. That's strange. They give it back to me though, didn't they? It's just so pathetic how obviously they're trying to do. I mean, there's a lot of things here that you'll notice. Like, for instance, my liked videos on the content are private now, which I find very strange. I'll have to go to the homepage. Sorry, I don't want to take too long on this, but this is actually interesting. So my playlists for that I can see, you see the liked videos are set to private and I can't change that. Right? It won't let me. There's no drop down like there usually is. I can't add video. Oh, I can't do anything. My liked videos? Like it's just, why put that barrier on the liked videos? Right? They're trying to control. And they want this to look like, here's Last American Vagabond. They're doing just fine. And they're up and running and everything's good. And we're not censoring, as they actively try to cultivate and manipulate and stop and put blocks in front of literally anything I can do to stick my information on my channel and let people see it. This is why I keep saying it's not my channel. It's just hilarious, isn't it? But recognize the censorship is in full swing and it will continue because they are desperate to maintain this narrative, as we all seemingly are aware to one degree or another that we're being deceived. That's what I hope we all get to keep seeing, is that the majority has been showing its face quite a lot, the real majority. The fact that people recognize that they're not really trustworthy, the government. But bringing this over to the same point of censorship before we get into the Guardian article. This is from Postmillennial. Trudeau minister says internet censorship bill will make Canadians safer. This is where it's going. And now they're pointing to what has already happened as if it's a sign of why we need to do more. Recognize how crazy that is. The kind of arbitrary, mindless censorship that's not bound by any actual guidelines or rules, just because they've arbitrarily decided that they don't agree with what it says, despite showing experts and interviewing experts and having panels of experts interviewed by governors. And they just go, nah, we don't like what they're saying. Delete. And acting like that's somehow medical misinformation, deleting experts and their opinions on the matter. This is just incredible. But here's what Canada is doing even more to head full steam into their authoritarian dictatorship, just like we are seeing in this country. Heritage Minister Stephen Guilbeault, that's a strange last name, probably mispronouncing that, probably French maybe, will introduce the first ever internet control bill to be tabled in Parliament within the next couple of weeks, he revealed during a video conference. He revealed that the legislation being tabled is the first step in creating a, quote, safer environment for all people online. Right, because we know how you can get violently attacked online, right? See, this is how they try to make words harmful. This is the weird snowflake, touchy-feely, weird. You know, this is nonsense. Is there a level of are there things that should be regarded as taboo, or things like there are things that should get you, like, let's say, for instance, you share child pornography. We can all agree that that's something that is absolutely off the table. Now, yes, these are all things that we ultimately agree on. And even then, you could argue there's people that would disagree, but this is about what they're doing. I don't mean in regard to child pornography. I mean in regard to where and what that line is. My point is that they are stepping up and telling you that they are going to make the online environment safer for you by deciding what is able to be said, at what point and how it can be said, what the discussion will be, and whether you're even allowed to have the conversation around a certain topic. And that's going to make you safer. A little bonus is it'll also allow them to control the narratives on things they don't want you to see. But yeah, that's a different story. It's all about hiding the hate speech from you, the big, dangerous, big, bad hate speech. You know, those mean words people say, and when they tell you things you don't like to hear, then you block them because that's the world that we're trying to create. It's horrifying. We should have the clear understanding by now that the answer to this problem, if it's really even a problem, is more speech. If we stood up and simply said, yes, we can all agree that the people saying those disgusting things are disgusting, horrible people, and we can all acknowledge that, and it won't be some taboo thing that gathers a following because we don't acknowledge it altogether. It's almost like they're trying to create these little caveats of you know, I mean, think about like the QAnon thing. That's what they're trying to create, is these radicalized corners. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a point, but I just, these are thoughts that are jumping into my head. But in any case, this is not something we should be okay with. No government should be able to jump in and tell you what is or is not allowed in a free space, just because they claim that certain words lead to violence. And this is what I keep saying, is that, okay, well, when where's the line there? Because we've already let them go. When does it become, well, these are the words that lead to those words that lead to violence? That's just as logical as arguing words lead to violence. It's the same concept. So it will end up going wherever they want it to. That's the point. He's saying it's regulating hurtful content. Now we're talking about like, oh, that hurt my feelings, and that's not allowed. That's just stupid. Quote, with the legislation we will be tabling, it won't matter whether or not the company is Canadian. It won't matter where the company is registered or their services are located. Great. So it's a seemingly a global international censorship bill led by Canada, because that makes sense. Well, of course, it'll only apply, I would argue, hopefully in Canada, but they'll do anywhere, any platform anywhere, if it's being broadcast into Canada, will be blocked. At least that's how I understand it. That's just crazy. This is full on censorship. This is state censorship based on the guise they're doing it to keep you safe from those mean words. Once a publication is flagged, it says, quote, it will have to be taken down within 24 hours of having it been flagged. Right. What a process, right? So government goes, that's not okay. Take it down. There's your process. Quote, there are not a lot of countries that are doing that right now. Yeah, because it's a complete violation of most countries' rights. He said that the hate speech will, quote, definitely be a part of the legislation being tabled, as well as other online harms. It just made me think of something like, what if we actually felt certain words were really dangerous, but they happened to disagree with us on which words we felt were dangerous? What happens then? Right? I'm completely terrified of these words, and they lead to violence. And we all agree over here in this huge area. But the Canadian government just feels differently, and they think those ones are okay, but these ones are bad. You see what a point I'm making here? That it's completely subjective, and it's up to the government. Even if we disagree, even if we want words to be censored, even if we want it to be censored based on hate speech, they can decide which ones and where and how to apply it. This is not freedom, guys. This is creating a totalitarian government, what's a better word than totalitarian, because that's a little extreme for some people, but a government that's omnipotent, has power to do whatever it wants over your speech, despite the fact that that's a direct violation of, you know, any, I mean, the things that we pretend to hold dear, even from an international level. These are the same people that pretend to, you know, invade other countries under the guise that they're fighting for these things. And then they take them away from you because mean words. Well, this is just a little cherry on top of the censorship pie here. Just in, Apple to allow Parler back on the App Store. Which, by the way, most people right off the bat will probably be like, oh, that's a sign that they were always, you know, I have my doubts about whether that was a honeypot from the beginning. But it says this comes after Parler changed their content moderation practices to Apple's liking. Well, that explains everything. So Apple said, we don't like what you're doing. Do it our way, or you don't get to be on this. I mean, this is the reality of the Silicon Valley, Apple, Google, Facebook, Twitter, you know, it's all one big nebulous blob, it seems. That's why they all multi-platform censorship, like with myself and multiple other people have seen all at the same time, seemingly, which doesn't really make sense other than they're working together. So if Apple can dictate what you are able to do on your platforms, I mean, this is the joke. It's not even a joke, but the statement that people make where they go, you know, people argue something and they go, well, go make your own platform then. If you don't like how this works here, you don't like Twitter, you're complaining about censorship, then go make your own. And they go make their own and they go, no, we don't like what you're doing over there too. And we're going to censor that too. This is the point. The people that said, go make your own platform had no idea what they were talking about, because it's only about content and about controlling the narrative. And if you get traction anywhere, they'll come after you. Now, moving over into COVID-19 on the same point, recognizing that they have been censoring people like myself and a lot of other people for being correct. When I say being correct, I mean 100% stating what is absolutely being admitted to now, like 6 months ago or longer than that. I can't remember exactly where I started to really hone in on the real PCR illusion scam, like the real information around the PCR test, which, by the way, for those right, even right now going, oh, he's a scam, he's a conspiracy theorist. Well, just wait until you see what The Guardian had to say. This is the best part about it. Even people that think that, they think that what we've been saying is conspiracy theory, will read The Guardian article and think, well, here's real news. What they've been saying is conspiracy theory, because The Guardian said this exact one little difference, and that means this one's real. And what they said this whole time was fake, even though what they've been saying is actually real right now. It's just, it's mental gymnastics. They will go out of their way to make you be the crazy one, even if it's literally the same thing. And now it's okay because Guardian said it. Mainstream said it. This is just crazy to me. This is rapid COVID testing in England may be scaled back over false positives. I'm actually looking at the article next, but here's, oh, we were, I'll read this in the article. Here's what I actually said about it. I said, it falls apart even more. They knew there was a huge prevalence of false positives. And we do know this, by the way, this is not even a secret. Yet they censored many of us for proving that months ago. Yet here they are about to admit it. How many times must this happen before we see the reality? And I don't just mean in regard to PCR tests. I mean that they have continually censored, suppressed, ignored, disparaged facts, science, the very things they're telling us to understand and trust. And now they admit them. Do you realize that we're not getting things back for that? We're not getting, you know, my Twitter account is still gone. People are still censored all over the place. Corbett is still gone off YouTube or from his main channel. It's just, it'll never, they will do this and they get the support of the vocal minority unless we do something about it. Rapid COVID testing in England may be scaled back over false positives. The main point. Oh, whoops. I thought I had it here. I'll find it in here just so we can leaked emails. I swear I had that highlighted. Maybe they took it from me. Leaked emails seen by The Guardian show that senior officials are now considering scaling back the widespread testing of people without symptoms due to a growing number of false positives, right? We have leaked emails coming from senior officials. I mean, this is not a hypothetical where they're openly talking about rolling back the whole point, the whole illusion of this, testing people who are healthy and giving them false positives, which build the numbers, which build the illusion. And they're considering rolling that whole testing program back for healthy people, quote, not cool quote from Guardian, due to growing number of false positives. Now, it's not a growing number. It didn't just start yesterday. This is the classic Guardian, you know, gaslighting propaganda or trying to undermine the real point, which is that they've always known this. That's the real point. It's been there. If I can prove it 6 months ago and be confirmed by The Guardian today, it was true 6 months ago. And guys, this isn't that hard to understand. It's very clear. I'm not going to dive into the whole PCR discussion again today because I really do want this to be not a very long show, but find my past videos. Check out, there's plenty of independent media out there pointing out the very painfully obvious reality that this test is not designed for what they're using it for, as even the creator has stated. And they try to play equivocation there too and say, well, he wasn't talking about COVID. Well, he wasn't talking about anything specific. He said it's not designed for this kind of purpose, right? This is the truth. Look it up for yourself. And the reality is, in between 35 and 45 cycle threshold, which is what they've been using from the very beginning, it's a guarantee to have a high prevalence of false positives. How many times have we gone over this and showed these? You know, and what I keep pointing out, which I think is crazy, and I don't think I actually have the clip on this on StreamYard, but played you the clip of Fauci in that podcast admitting, like in July 2020, that anything over 40 is your competency is minuscule. And then they continue to do over 40 up to 45 for the next, eight still? We're still doing it. Months and months and months and months later. So how do you look at that and not go, okay, they meant to keep it that way? And now, finally, we're here where they're going, oh, well, there's a growing number of false positives. That didn't start yesterday. Understand that. That has been going on, and that is why these numbers have been inflated. So think about it this way now. Now they're admitting this, what happens now? Do we go back and adjust all the numbers? No, of course not. They'll go forward acting like everything till up to date is totally normal, even though they just admitted that they have been giving false positives this whole time. When they say growing number, they just want you to think, well, something just started and we're dealing with it now. That is what the average person that doesn't understand this stuff will happily think, because they're too afraid to realize that that your government and the media don't care about you at all, and that they're lying to you about damn near everything. It's crazy. Now, remember, Dr. Scoglio, PhD, did his tests multiple times, one live on the air. Kiwi tested positive and very clearly showed you that up to between 35 and 45, you upwards of 95% false positives. There's been multiple studies that have found similar things, and here we are. And we're still being censored, and the reality is that they're going to slowly admit this stuff. This is what we keep telling you, whether that's because we're demolishing their narrative and they have no choice, or because this was the plan to slowly roll it back, but then kind of normalize this biosecurity state that will just roll back up again once we get comfortable. That's what this is. So we need to push back. We need to dig our feet in and say, this is not okay. We need to be demanding answers from the governors that are beginning to roll things back to normal, or quote normal, because we need to know why. And if they are realizing something new, then we need to know what that new thing is, or hold them accountable for realizing they made a mistake when they put you here to begin with. This needs to happen. Next one, it's also ridiculous, is a Australian news broadcast, either slip of the tongue, which is certainly possible, or openly stating the reality, because by the way, I looked forever to try to find this clip. So please, if you have it out there, please send it my way. Either way, the point is the same, because I'll play it first. Listen to what she has to say. It's very quick. It's only 7 seconds.
An Australian biotech company has developed a new treatment it hopes will prevent people dying from COVID vaccine.
You hear that?
An Australian biotech company has developed a new treatment it hopes will prevent people dying from COVID vaccine.
Now, is it possible that she meant to say, if it was too low, she said is it Australian?
An Australian.
Yeah, an Australian biotech company has produced
a new treatment. It hopes will prevent people dying from.
It hopes to prevent people dying from COVID-19 vaccines. I don't know why I could just remember that, but it could. Maybe she meant to say COVID-19 instead of COVID vaccine. I mean, look, it's certainly possible. I don't believe that. I mean, the way that was stated, I would love someone to send it to me. But here's the point. Regardless, it's still the same point. Is that it's a joke that we're pretending like the deaths that are clearly being caused by these vaccines that Norway has confirmed, that the Wall Street Journal reported on, that Germany has confirmed, that multiple places, that even the U.S. government, the FDA, pulled back on the real fact that 6 of these blood clots are absolutely verified, even though 56 of them have been reported that they don't want to talk about, and probably more than that now, is that it's a fact. These vaccines have killed people in the testing and the current testing, right? The current real world testing that we're currently experiencing. This is incredible to me because it's, as I said, so the thing that is totally fake news, conspiracy theory, dying from COVID-19 vaccines, now has its own preventative treatment. But we don't know for sure though. It's just so ridiculous. If you need a treatment in order to safely take the new miracle vaccine, well, it's not safe or a miracle or a vaccine for that matter, but that's crazy. I would really love someone to find that clip because I'm seriously probably not wasted, but searched for hours today trying to find that. Was tearing through their YouTube channel, and it's just you'll see what I mean when you look for it. But please, if anybody finds it, help me out because I'd like to know whether this was an actual statement. And I actually tried to search for a while to find the Australian biotech company, and all I could find was treatments for like nasal spray stuff for COVID stuff. So who knows? So please, if you find something, let me know. But going forward, here's what somebody has to say. Yet, after stating this, nurses in Australia can't speak out about people dying from vaccines or they'll be deregistered, right? So we can have a company, hypothetically, creating a treatment to stop vaccine deaths, but they can't speak out about the fact that it's actually happening. Even removing that statement from the news, we know they're happening. They just admitted to 6 of them in regard to the blood clots, which we know have led to deaths and heart attacks. It's been reported. There's thousands of them. So the nurses can't talk about what's really happening. It shows you that they're trying desperately to control the narrative. And he goes on, and you can read these for yourself if you'd like. The emails where they're just acknowledging that exact fact. Just caught up with my relatives who was a nurse. She wanted to get out of healthcare completely. Said that her work was given them all the hard word. Said that her work has given them all the hard word if she publicly says anything about these things. Basically just going after her if she speaks out about what's really going on. That's just unbelievable to me, but we know it's happening. But here's Norway delays AstraZeneca vaccine ruling to further probe risks. Now, this is, it baffles me that we can be at a time where we have these countries openly doing this, not just pausing, but I think it was Denmark that just completely stopped it. And we act like there's nothing to be concerned about. These are entire government regulatory agencies. There's no reason we should trust any of them. But these agencies, for whatever reason, have come to the determination that this is not safe. Here's a great quote to take home to somebody who thinks otherwise. Norway's Institute of Public Health said that Norway's death rate during the pandemic was so low, the second lowest per capita in Europe, that it would be more dangerous to use the AstraZeneca jab than not use it at all. What does that remind you of? Oh, you mean my coverage where I said that most people are at a higher risk of adverse events than they are from COVID-19? This is what the Norway Institute of Public Health just commented on and said the same thing as I did, specifically in regard to AstraZeneca and specifically in regard to their death rate. But that still applies. And the reality is that a lot of places are in the same point where they know and they see that the risk is far higher from the at least reported adverse events from the COVID-19 vaccines. I mean, it is through the roof right now. It is unbelievably higher than any other vaccine that I've seen. And as I showed you the deaths reported from different years, we're over 2,000 plus at this point, when the last year was 100, and before that, 110, and, you know, barely at the highest years before that, closely, I think it was 196. And then from 2020 to 2021, we're at 2,100 and something I just showed you yesterday. And we're in April of this year. Can you imagine what that number will be by the end of the year? And we're going to pretend like, oh, it's just unverified. We can't be sure. Remember that Harvard and HHS, Health and Human Services themselves, and their study told us that that represents 1% of all the issues, of all the actual adverse events. That is why it's clearly more dangerous than not using it at all, based on the vast majority of people and the numbers from the CDC. I don't know why this is still an issue. We can't do math these days. I mean, it's alarming to me that the mainstream media is, I mean, I know they're lying to us all the time, but to be in the face of such obvious breakdown of their narrative, like the very real fact, like for them to keep screaming, trust the science, while they're ignoring every scientific study that, pretty much everyone that I've seen lately, I can't even believe this is still happening the way it is. It's actually pretty crazy. Now, I've seen more than one example so far. We know that children are being tested on right now. I saw the one example in the Veyers, which is totally verifiable. You can look it up yourself, where a 2-year-old child has died after the vaccine trial. You know, the ones where they're testing on young children that are at no risk at all, because that's totally normal. Here's another one. Parent of a child signed her up for the trial. I just got the phone from a tearful phone call from a dear friend, lost her 2-year-old niece after she received the Moderna vaccine hours prior to developing blood clots all over her tiny body. She died. She mattered. She was nearly 2. I'm not anti-vax. I'm really not. I hate that people even have to say that. I'm anti-human experiment. I'm anti-mandatory vaccination. There's no such thing as an innocent child dying for the greater good. So don't try that on me. Horrific. Here's another person that's currently in the hospital. This is from the husband. I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware and hopefully got some help and get my wife back to the normal life again. On April 5th, my wife got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They let her leave after waiting 15 minutes. Now, how many times have we heard this discussion? Oh, yeah, we make sure they stick around for 15. So 15 minutes, I'm sure, because that, you know, we've seen people get this hours after, days after. It's crazy. And remember, this is the one where they go, well, we got these 6 and we handled it and we're all good, right? Judge Fauci said, we're going to roll it back out real soon, right? This is not one of those 6. So what are you talking about? They let her leave after 15 minutes. And when she got home, well, she noted swelling around her tongue and hands and feet. She called the vaccine center and they told her to take some Benadryl. You realize that? Like with what's going on right now, with what's happening right now, and we just showed you the CDC website that said if you have swelling anywhere outside of your arm, immediately call the hospital and they'll go take Benadryl. Right. Like this is their willingness, they're forced. They do not want to believe, a lot of these heroes, that this is actually what's going on. So when they hear this kind of thing, as opposed to going, well, that might be what we keep hearing. Well, that's fake news conspiracy theory. So go take Benadryl. This is even affecting the people in the hospital. This is affecting the nurses and the doctors. They're so terrified of being fake news, of being an anti-science conspiracy theorist and losing their career, that they would be more willing to let people die at home instead of go, well, you might have that thing. Well, just in case, come in right now. No, take Benadryl and then just wait and see what happens. Well, you can see what's happening to her. They said, well, if that doesn't happen, if it doesn't go down, then you go to the ER. Well, the next day, after 24 hours, she could have died, by the way. They went to the ER since it hadn't gone down. It was getting harder for her to breathe, and the swelling still hadn't gone down. They gave her some medication, and then they let her go home. This, it's just, these are people that are refusing to acknowledge the possibility that the vaccine is causing this role, even though it happens with, I mean, this is within an hour. 15 minutes, went home, and right when she got home. Or let's just give her a couple hours in case they live far away. And not only did they take Benadryl and let her stay home, then they came in, did something, then let her go back home. Following day, she went in for a follow-up with the primary, still swollen, could barely talk, barely breathe, and they let her go home. Couple of heroes over here, right? She started having chest pain, which led to the nurse giving her an EpiPen. God. And had an ambulance take her to the ER, because all this is some kind of allergic reaction, right? Not the vaccine. So just keep giving her EpiPen stuff and giving her Benadryl and just pretend like that's going to be enough. She was monitored and had blood tests done. Gave her some more epinephrine and told her that she can go home. That's the EpiPen. Go home. Day after in the evening, she started to swell up really bad again. Gee, because maybe it's not about some allergic reaction to food or something that you can just give an EpiPen to go away. It's some kind of genetically modified reaction to whatever the hell is in your body. You know, like all the things we keep seeing happening, whether we're talking about polyethylene glycol or God knows what else, or, you know, whether this is antibody-dependent enhancement. Maybe she came into contact with something else in the real world. And these are all real things. We've shown you the informed consent document that told you in the study that they knew this was happening. And they knew. That it was a risk in October 2020. Knew it. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been and should be prominently independently disclosed. It wasn't, and it's not, since October. Here's the science telling you clearly that they knew this is going to cause that sort of reaction, and nobody did anything about it, right? It should have been, in order to meet the medical ethics standards for patient comprehension for informed consent. Nope, didn't do that, though, because they don't care about that. Think about how crazy that is. So if you rushed her back to the ER. She could barely open her eyes, tongue swollen, barely breathing. She said she was nauseous and her chest hurt. And again, same thing when we got there. They gave her more epinephrine. Started going down again, but the effects kept getting shorter and shorter, right? I mean, this is crazy that they don't recognize immediately that that's not what the real... I can tell that. I'm not a doctor. Fast forward a few days after multiple visits to the doctor. And by the way, I've dealt with EpiPens and things like that quite a bit. Not that it makes me an expert, just because I've had, I think, at least three times or maybe four in the restaurant where somebody's had an attack of shellfish or whatever else, and we have to get the one out of the back and pop them in the leg, and it's intense. But the idea is that we're actually, when we have to learn some of these things. Like there's about safety when you're a manager or whatever else, or a chef. You have to learn these things, because I've been both in my time. Anyway, the point is, for them to keep just popping her with more of that stuff, it's crazy to me. Fast forward a few days after multiple visits to the doctor and blood works at the ER and tons of medication that don't work. I'm sure that's helping. All those petroleum-based medication poisons, I'm sure that's doing really well for her. They finally admitted her to the hospital to monitor. Most of you know we have five kids. They don't know what's going on and they're confused and lost. I don't even know how to explain this to my kids. Problem is, doctors have no clue what's going on and it sucks. My wife almost died because her airway started swelling up. It's not like the J&J is taking responsibility to help her or with our medical expenses, nor does the CDC. She's just one in a million case. Worth the risk to Big Pharma. I guess I'm asking, please put my wife and family in your prayers. Hopefully she will get better and be able to return to work back to normal. And I thought getting the vaccine was doing that. I'm glad he said that. That takes a lot of courage to write that, especially knowing that even as you stare what's in, see the picture, you know what's happening, people will attack him as an anti-vaxxer. Here's the worst part. COVID-19 vaccines go through many tests for safety and effectiveness, and they're monitored closely. Well, clearly not enough. But go ahead and jam that in there, because we're not, there's no tact. There's no decorum here. Apparently, Instagram, we don't care that her wife's dying. We're going to jam in our propaganda, right? God, that makes me sick. Now, Michael Krager pointing out, promoting a rushed vaccine on small children for a virus that barely impacts them and where pharma companies have liability protection is insane and unethical. How is it that we have to even make that argument? Of course, what he just said is correct. Anybody, anywhere, at any time before COVID-19 would have said, of course. Like, why would you even need to say that? But now COVID-19 clown world, and we're anti-vax, crazy anti-science conspiracy theorists if we think that young children should not be injected with an experimental genetic therapy or whatever you want to call this today, even after a child just died in one of those trials. Here's the actual article that just refreshed, son of gun. Damn it. I had a bunch of highlighted stuff in here. 100 doctors express opposition to vaccinated children. This is a good story. The signatories stress that children should be allowed to return to routine without needing the vaccine. You know, it's funny that, dang it, that changed. That was right out to here, I think, when I last saw it. So who knows what they just deleted there. God, I got to start way back machine archiving these things. Some 100 medical professionals have expressed opposition to vaccinating children with the coronavirus vaccine and separating between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. Right? These are 100 medical professionals. Are they all anti-science fringe conspiracy theorists? Well, that's what the mainstream would have you believe. These are medical professionals that have a right to speak, that are standing up and going, this is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. Quote, we believe there is no room for vaccinating children at this time due to caution, modesty, and the understanding that haste is from the devil. Yeah. The recognition that we do not understand everything about this virus and the vaccine against it, and the first commandment of medicine, first, do no harm. Exactly. Dang it. They totally removed. Yeah, man, that there's, dang it. I know why they removed this now. Dang it. You know what I'm going to do real quick? Hold on a second. Let's see if there's anybody who actually did archive this. It seems these days pretty much everything. But if it wasn't, let's see. So it goes, let's see. Is that the right one? Yeah, it does look like it. Oh, you know what? Son of a gun. That's why. Dang it. So this is the wrong article. Dang it. Okay. My mistake. So I'm trying to rush through this today and make it quick, and I just made it. So anyway, the reality is that there are people that are unhappy with children being vaccinated in Israel. And I was going to talk about this, and I'll show you another one that I'll follow this up with, but this is an older one. This is the right one. See, I confused myself by seeing this. It is, okay, so let me keep going. Okay. Man, that is wild. I had this highlighted earlier. I mean, I'm not going to waste too much more time on this because it doesn't really make any sense to anybody that doesn't remember what I saw on this. But it very clearly discussed the point that what they were talking about. You know what? It's not. Let me just go through this, the rest of it. So let me read what they have left in here. I apologize for the disjointedness here. Their point was, I believe there's a paragraph that was removed. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll just keep going. They acknowledged that the Pfizer vaccine was preventing, where was it? But they said children do not usually experience severe symptoms, right? This is what these doctors are saying, from the coronavirus, and the long-term possible side effects of the vaccine, even if rare, would only be known after years of study. That was one of the points I wanted to make clear, that they're telling you right now that we don't know the long-term side effects. And that's what they keep. You'll not hear that from the mainstream media. You just simply won't hear that. Long-term possible side effects of the vaccine would only be known after years of study. So if that's the argument for why we shouldn't test on children, wouldn't that equally apply to testing on adults? It would. So I find that to be quite an interesting admission. But we know this, though. This is the point. This is why this is the Operation Warp Speed, absolutely rushed part. When they keep acting like, well, no, it's because we did everything before and we got jump started by our previous research. Well, that has nothing to do with safety testing. The rush was the safety test, not how they got to the vaccine. That was also rushed, or also really, my opinion, just being worked on long before this in regard to the platform that we've talked about with Moderna and everything else. But the safety trials were obviously rushed, exponentially rushed. And that's why we don't know. It says it's also unclear how long immunity from these vaccines lasts. But exactly what we keep sort of hearing, but they won't really admit to, that we don't know that the vaccine may or may not work at all, which variants it even works against, which is also telling you, well, the variants will always keep this going. Even if they're arguing there's variants, there might be variants. How often booster shots will be needed, which means it's a foregone conclusion, understand, and what the far-reaching implications of the periodic immunization on the immune system and the evolution of the virus could be. So they're saying, we don't know. We don't know what about the variants. We don't know if the immunity lasts. We don't know what the far reach. We don't know anything about this. If you'll need booster shot. So yet they're pumping this in people's arms everywhere, and they don't know seemingly anything. They're telling you, yeah, it reduces symptoms a good amount. And you can still catch it. You can still spread it. You still got to wear a mask. You still got to lock down. You still have to do everything. And we don't even know if it does all these things, but go ahead and keep taking it though. The prevailing view among the scientific community. Let me repeat that. According to the Jerusalem Post, the prevailing view among the scientific community is that the vaccine cannot lead to herd immunity. What do you know about that? Meaning, there's no justification for young vaccinating children or anyone for that matter. It's funny how they're making an argument just about children, yet seemingly making an argument that applies to literally anybody. If it can't lead to herd immunity, and that is what they're telling you is the prevailing view among the scientific community, what are we talking about? Isn't that crazy? This is the reality that we're not being shown in the US media. It's just absolutely incredible how clear and obvious this is, right? Well, this was the next one I was going to show you. Remember, I already reported this. The ethics chairman resigned over Israeli vaccine testing on children. He resigned because they were testing on children. This is members of Israeli Committee on Human Experiments quits over health ministry policy. It was the chairman and other members, by the way. And I didn't even know that until I looked this back up again. I think that's been added, because when I was looking at it, he was the one that had resigned. So now we've got him and other members that resigned. Remember, when he resigned, he was very clear. He said that we shouldn't be testing on pregnant women is what it was actually about, right? And then he said, well, if you're going to do it, even though we obviously shouldn't, at least make them sign informed consent forms. And they said, no, we won't do that either. This is all very documented. And then they went on to test on pregnant women without informed consent or anything else. And he quit. The chairman, the ethics chairman, he quit. I mean, why wasn't that enough to wake everybody up? This guy's, his whole job is about ethics. And he's like, I can't even do this anymore. You guys are out of control. It's crazy. Ethics concerns raised as Israel to give Pfizer medical data. Remember, that's the other thing they're doing, is just giving away the personal data to Pfizer, because we're totally not an experiment, right? We're totally not in a big lab experiment where they're testing and taking data and processing it and using that to go forward with their projects at all. Totally not. They're giving your personal data to Pfizer. And that's totally okay, apparently. And remember, Pfizer's CEO himself said that Israel is the world's lab. Why? He noted the studies on the risk. And by the way, just casually. Oh, by the way, studies on the risk of vaccine are underway right now on pregnant women and young children, because that's not controversial at all. But he says, I believe Israel's become the world's lab right now because they are using only our vaccine and at this state, and they have vaccinated a very big part of their population. So we can study both economy and health incidences of those things happening. And this is stating very clearly that they are in an experiment, that they're testing you and they're studying you. They're literally calling Israel the world's lab. How do we not see what this really is? And this brings us to one of the most important points here. A letter coming from McKinsey Health that's admitting to giving saline shots instead of the vaccine. Now, you may not realize why that's so important. You see, there's no reason that these people should have saline shots ready. Not saline on hand, but saline loaded in syringes in the same location as COVID-19 vaccines, unless they're conducting a safety trial or some kind of trial. That's the only time. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. If anybody wants to tell me, I did research on this today, and I've looked this up in the past in regard to the saline versus the meningitis vaccine, which is also ridiculous. The fact that they're currently using meningitis vaccines in a lot of ways for a placebo. You know why they do that? So you guaranteed get other reactions, and that makes the reactions of the vaccine you're testing look much less severe. You're supposed to use saline solution, and they're not today. They didn't do that with the vaccines for COVID-19. But in any case, why would you have that on hand unless you're testing, unless you were giving it to some people and some people the other one? Or maybe they were, as some people pointed out, only for certain people that didn't really want to get the vaccine, but wanted to look like they got it. I don't know which one it could be, but I do know that having these saline shots and having them administered to multiple people shows you that there's something very wrong going on. It says, this letter is in follow-up to the phone call made to you last week. It says, our records indicate that you received a vaccine from us on Sunday, March 28th. During our audit process on that day, it came to our attention that you may not have received the vaccine and you may have received a saline instead. Now, that means that they don't even know how many they accidentally gave away. Saline is not harmful, but will not provide protection from COVID-19. McKinsey Health is committed to being open and transparent with all of our patients, and we sincerely apologize for this happening. To ensure you receive proper vaccination, we will need to conduct an antibody blood test that can help detect if you received the Pfizer vaccine. Or another thought I had, maybe that's the point. Maybe this is all a ruse to get people to go back in, to get testing, to do who, you know, we are being experimented on, guys. And I don't know why that's not clear to people. Now, whether or not you think that there's a part of this is honest and this is just one aspect of it, or this is all one massive experiment, it's clear that at some levels, there are things being done. We saw in the beginning where people got accidentally triple doses in multiple. I mean, there's no way that could happen by accident. I don't want to theorize too much on this, but the point is there's a lot of incidences so far that show us that there's clear examples of experimentation happening. And this is another obvious one. And maybe they want you just to go back in to take an antibody test to, you know, manipulate something else. So the antibody test needs to be conducted, it says, 2 weeks after receiving the injection for the antibodies in your system to be detected properly. Except they already told you that in some cases people don't get immunity. So then what? Then what? Are you supposed to just maybe assume it was a saline, but then not be sure because you don't know, maybe they didn't get antibodies, right? That's not definitive. There's something very wrong happening here. We are currently working on our third-party lab partner to facilitate our antibody test. And remember, people are making money off these antibody tests, right? So there's a third party involved there. We will be calling you back by this week to confirm when a mobile team from the lab can come to your home to draw your blood. I wonder if that's even your choice, huh? Or if you prefer, we can arrange for you to visit a lab near you. Right? They're going to argue, well, you might be sick with COVID, so we have to be sure. We already see how they're acting about that. It's not your choice, right? We will work with you to make sure it works for your schedule, right? Not a question, is it? Once we receive the antibody test results, we will let you know as soon as possible whether you need to come back to receive the COVID vaccine, right? And why would we be trusting them? What if this is another test to see what happens when you get three, or God knows what else? If you do, and there's people out there that are going to make this out to be some wild conspiracy rant because I'm stating things that I don't know. I'm not saying these are facts. You guys know this. The reality is if people are afraid to ask logical questions, they'll argue they're not logical, but that's because they're blind to what's happening. But if you're afraid to ask logical questions, then you're a coward. You are bowing to the power structure because you're afraid to be called out. Be honest. It says, we will also honor your second dose appointment as it was originally scheduled, so your full vaccination is not delayed. So how does that make sense? So if you were supposed to get it exactly a certain time apart and you didn't get it this time, but they're going to set up an appointment in between then and give you the first one, but then keep the second appointment with the same time date, doesn't that mean that it's too close to the first one? I mean, oh yeah. Who cares though? Just get it in your arm though. Who cares? And here's what somebody else commented. Wow. Clear confirmation of what has been already speculated. Live trials with placebo given out to some and poisoned to others. While others say this was the celebrity vaccine exposed, meaning like people go in there and they want to look like they get it. It's all speculation, right? Who knows for sure? But just in case for those people that were going, that's not even true, here's the actual report, right? So it's always somebody that wants to disparage things because they don't want to look it up themselves. So we'll do it for them. Walgreens, April 18th, accidentally, right? Understand, this is a different location, guys. This is what I find to be the most telling when I actually sought this out. This is McKinsey Health. Right? I don't see any mention of Walgreens here, right? Okay, so Let's assume for the moment that there's more of than one incidence of this happening. North Carolina Walgreens accidentally gives out dose of saline instead of COVID-19. Does anybody ask the question about why they even have doses of saline? That people don't go to Walgreens to get saline doses in syringes. Unless I'm somehow mistaken, please let me know, because I did research on this and I couldn't find any example of that happening outside of safety trials. It says several people in Monroe, North Carolina will have to retake their COVID-19 shots because of a mix-up at a pharmacy. A Walgreens store, right? And that's where they leave that, right? A mix-up? Oops, we gave you the wrong. I mean, so what happens if they would have just, oops, given you the wrong injection altogether? Something not even like totally, you could kill people, right? Oops and whoopsie. That's something that just casually happens like this in multiple locations at the same time. Let's be clear about that. A Walgreens store in North Carolina said some people slated to get the COVID-19 vaccine actually received a dose of saline by mistake. The pharmacy said it reached out to all the patients who were impacted and scheduled their vaccines as soon as they were available to come back in. The patients affected will receive their second dose. Right, this seems to make it sound like they know quite clearly who got the saline. And how would they know that unless they were monitoring that? And then going back here, why is it they don't seem to know? And it's sort of like, we're not sure. The patients affected will receive their second doses within an appropriate time frame. Walgreens is still investigating to find out what exactly happened. Yeah, I'm sure. Here's from the Daily News. Vaccine mix-up at North Carolina Walgreens, just for another outlet. So, I'm genuinely curious about what people think out there about that, because I think it's very hard for me to wrap my mind around anything else other than something dishonest happening, right? I mean, why are they using saline shots to begin with? And I would love someone to, I genuinely want to know if there's somebody out there that knows that they're used for this purpose and that's why they would be, and here's why. And also, not just they have them, but how is it possible that they could accidentally give the wrong one, right? I would love for someone to tell me. And if there is an answer to that, I'll talk about it tomorrow. Right. But I don't think so. And I think it's pretty clear to me that there's something very fishy going on here, especially when you bring in the full picture and everything else we've already seen about them doing exactly these kind of nefarious and sinister actions that are, I mean, this is human experimentation, in my opinion, not just this one thing, but the whole thing, the vaccine, everything that's happening, the lockdowns. We are, I mean, for crying out loud, the World Economic Forum, literal quote, they said that the lockdowns are the biggest. The world's largest psychological experiment. That's from the WEF, understand, the World Economic Forum. I was censored for quoting what they said, because it is that this is the largest psychological experiment. Absolutely crazy. One other point before I wrap up on one last thing that I find this to be very telling as well, to show you this shifting, right? The shift that people are beginning to admit what we've been saying this whole time. Even someone like Bill Maher. I don't want politics mixed with my medical decisions. Yeah, the whole idea that you don't want politics mixed with health, unless it's what he agrees with, right? It's just so funny how there's people right now are making these stands, but it's, we've talked about all kinds of political health wedge issues like abortion or God knows what else. And of course, their politics matter then, but not now, right? It's kind of funny, but he makes good points nonetheless. I honestly, who knows whether this is coming from a good place for him. I don't trust pretty much anybody in these positions, but nonetheless, recognize this is coming from a mainstream person who people in the mainstream circles tend to listen to. And listen to what he's saying. It says, in this segment below, the political commentator, comedian Bill Maher, accused the medical establishment, media, and the government of taking a scared straight approach to getting people to comply with their COVID recommendations. Quote, when all the sources for medical information have an agenda to spin us, you wind up with a badly informed public. Now, you see, it's okay for Bill Maher to say that. See, I can say that and will be censored. This is my point, that we've been saying this from the beginning. And now it's okay for the big guys to say it, right? You're going to start to see CNN and these different people, breaking news, PCR test or whatever, and they're going to act like they broke the story, and all the normies out there will think they did and fail to recognize that we talked about it a year ago. And if they even see it, they'll be like, oh, but that's that fake news place, right? They were wrong. They were wrong, even though we know that we were right. It's just crazy. It's cognitive dissonance. I mean, they're unwilling to acknowledge it. But he's stating, when all the sources for medical information have an agenda, We've always known this, guys. And it's just funny, it takes Bill Maher to make people in the two-party illusion recognize that thing that we've always known. When the HHS and the British Medical Journal can report this, and I think 2004 and then in 2000, through the 2000s, at different times, I forget what the dates were, separately report about how the CDC was doing just that, that they were spinning information and have a clear agenda and using, you know, industry specialists in regard to flu to drive policy when all they have is a clear agenda, and that they were using irrational vaccine policy. That's a direct quote from the HHS, and another one was from the British Medical Journal. We know this, and here we are again doing it all over. The truth, said Mayor Maher, is that only between 1% and 5% of people end up needing to be hospitalized for COVID, despite the media's nonstop panic porn. It's called fear porn, bud. But 1% to 5% of people ending up in the hospital. By the way, I argue that's much lower. But nonetheless, realize what he's saying. If only 1% to 5% even end up in the hospital, this is unbelievably not happening the way that they keep telling you it is. And this is even Bill Maher shooting down some of the things. Like, I'm sure he's completely on board with vaccines, masks, and everything else. But I mean, I don't know. I don't watch it. I haven't seen him talking about anything. But in this case, even this one step away from the narrative is important for these people to see. Not only that, citing figures from the CDC, Mayor said 78% of people who end up hospitalized, ventilated, or dead, or from being ventilated, are obese. Something news outlets are too polite to talk about or hide from you. And it's not about obese. It's about every other possible thing. It's about having, it's about being sick. It's about being unhealthy, which is a byproduct of the way we live our lives in this country for a lot of people because of what the government has created. But people who are healthy are clearly not being affected by this. And that's what even Bill Maher will say. But weird, we've been saying that this whole time. It says, quote, "I don't want politics mixed in with my medical decisions," right? Again, it's just funny how it's like this time should be added right there. The poll showed liberals have a greatly exaggerated view of the danger of COVID and of the mortality rate among children. Right. So they are being lied to. And even Bill Maher can admit that. Greatly exaggerated view of the danger of COVID and the kids. Why? Because they need them to think kids are dying. That's why they're testing on them. That's why they're doing all this. And they need them to think it's dangerous because that keeps them scared with their masks on. Even Bill Maher can point out that you're deceived, guys. It's time to wake up. Finally, just a little laughing point to realize that they're shifting everything. Remember, we just talked about this. We just talked about this. And we showed you the one from 2020 where the CDC changed it and they said, well, no, it's risk of surface transmission is really low and it's not as dangerous. And then the news was like, what? That can't be true. And the CDC came back in and said, no, we didn't base that on science. Remember, we just talked about that. They said, no, that was just trying to re-explain. And they changed it back the other way. Well, guess what? Breaking news an hour ago. The risk of surface transmission of COVID-19 is low, the CDC says. Oh, so they were being correct back then, and they were pressured to pull it back, and they pretended like it wasn't real, and they now say it again, because I guess they just jumped the narrative a little bit. How many times have we seen this, where something will happen, or we'll report something, and the whole sphere will break out and say, no way, that's crazy, that can't be true, that's fake news, and then a month later it'll come out, and another outlet from the mainstream will be like, breaking news, here's the fact. This is ridiculous. And we've been telling you this from the beginning. Higher indoors than outdoors, right? Exactly. We just listened to the expert of PPE telling us that. And the reality is that they keep jamming people inside anyway. Surface transmission is low, and we've known that, and they've hit it. They've danced back and forth. This is a joke. This whole thing is a joke. And every moment, they're just changing that joke in a different direction and keeping you on your toes. Absolutely crazy. But thank you for joining me today, guys. That's a good hour show, pretty much on the nose. Now, I just wanted to get a couple of those points out there. I have a couple of articles I'm going to try to put up tonight from Robert, so make sure you keep an eye out for that. But there's no end. There's no shortage to powerful information that is completely shattering this narrative right now. So keep at it. Keep reaching out. If you want to be a part of the TLab Pirate stream, shoot me an email, ryan@thelastamericanvagabond.com. And it's going to continue to grow. I mean, I've got probably 15 people right now that are willing to allow that. I think one or two, I think three of them are currently on lockdown from YouTube because they can't be used. And we just keep jumping from channel to channel. This is the pirate radio scenario. That's what we're going to keep doing. And we're going to keep punching it through. And it's going to piss them off. And we're just going to keep getting it on there. No matter what they do and what they censor, we're going to keep fighting. So help me do it. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right to freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's not essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
Stop, man. This shit ain't right, bro.
But what's happening now is unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people. Is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
Just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen, get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.